Welcome to Game On Business Talk Radio with your host, Dr. D. Anthony Miles. Our program is not afraid to discuss controversial business ideas and topics. Get ready for an unfiltered discussion of problems and solutions that today's businesses, large or small, face daily. Now, here's Dr. D. Anthony Miles.
Hi, this is Game On Business Talk with D. Anthony Miles. We have an awesome show for you today. Get some coffee and have a seat. You're going to need a Bible and a seatbelt. This is Game On Business Talk Radio on nationally syndicated radio. We have a wonderful show for you today. This is a continuation of our author showcase series. Our guest author today is Alicia Newton, author of Believe, Begin, and Become. Quick background about Alicia. She's founder of Learning Path, LLC, a learning and development training practice. She is a learning and development training consultant, a structural designer, and master facilitator. She's based in Marietta, Georgia. She's also, of course, a best-selling author. Her education background, she has an MA in Information and Learning Technology from the University of Colorado, Denver, and a BS in Communications and Journalism from Kennesaw State University. I want to welcome our guest today, Alicia Newton, author of Believe, Begin, and Become. How are you today?
Thanks.
Alicia?
Hi, Dee. Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure
so
to be here on your show. Yes, yes.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying it is such a pleasure to be here on your amazing show, Game On Business Talk Radio. I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited too. I've been excited all week, and I was just getting some insight on your book, and I really think that with what's going on right now, people need a really positive book that's going to bring some positive energy with all the things that are going on in life today, with shootings and people losing their jobs, people having relatives that are passing away, and it's very important that we have you on to talk about your book. And I want to ask you, tell me something about yourself and your background. I gave you, I guess, the generics about your background, but tell the listeners some things they should know about your book and your background.
Okay, all right. And you know what? You do make a huge point, though, about the times that we're in. You know, my heart goes out to anyone who's lost anyone in this pandemic. And you're right. I mean, like, and we need to have a place to center, to come back to center, because there's so much going on. You know, part of the reasons that I wrote Believe, Begin, Become was because of, you know, the gremlins in my own head. You know, we all have that voice that never has anything good to say. And I am always a chief encourager. I mean, that's my title at Learning Path. I am the chief encourager and primary learning consultant for my company, Learning Path, LLC. And I definitely, you know, it's so important to keep each other encouraged and to keep each other to remembering that, you know, we will come out. You know, it's always darkest before the light, and we will come out. We'll come out of COVID, and we'll come out of situations, other situations that we're in. And so that was some of my motivation to write Believe, Begin, Become. I have an L&D background, as you had mentioned. I've been in that learning and development space for decades. I love helping people grow. And, you know, like Maya Angelou said, when you learn, teach. And I have a lifetime of experience learning and experiencing that, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever it looks like in the moment, whatever you might feel that it is in the moment, you know, just keep living. Just do the next thing in front of you. Because all of our fears, they're in the future. Stay in the right now. You know, because right now we really do. We're fully equipped with what we need in this moment.
Alicia, that's a really great point. And again, we really need some positive energy with a lot of the things that are going on. And it seems like, you know, I don't want to make this political or anything, but we either lack leadership in our president We lack leadership in general from anybody. And your book has come along at the right time. And what do you say to people that are lost, that are like lost sheep? What do you say to them? And how does your book try to help them find themselves?
Okay. Well, that's a great question. That's a great question. Being in the leadership space, because I did a lot of leadership development in corporate and do a lot of that as an entrepreneur with learning paths, and I found that the best leaders have something that I call inner leadership. And inner leadership is like that ability to show up, to be authentic, to be relatable. They have the ability to inspire others and then step back, encouraging their people to lead, encouraging their people to innovate, which is something that we're not seeing kind of on the world stage, the national stage here, that just makes us recoil because we know that leadership matters. The ability to inspire others, to allow people to lead, to pivot, to allow people the ability to make mistakes, to own those mistakes, to apologize, to move on. Like, leaders take risks, and they allow other people to take risks. But basically, you have to have an internal compass yourself. You know, having inner leadership is the ability to know yourself well enough that you can see yourself coming. Like, you can hear that voice that never has anything good to say, and you can say, okay, you know what? Go sit your behind down, all right? Not today. Not today, okay? Because we are human, and as humans, we're kind of designed to be on guard, like to pay more attention to what's wrong than what's right. And this book helps you come back to center. Because there's a center, right? There's an internal North Star. We weren't born afraid. We weren't born with the not enoughness. We weren't born shrinking. You know, we announced our arrival loudly. Here I am. And so my book helps us get back to that. You know, get back to you're worthy because you exist and your life matters. And it's going to be okay. Yes, it looks crazy. We hear crazy every day, right? But just
interesting.
Keep living, you know. There's a purpose. That's another thing about the book. It reminds us that even though it's hard, there's a treasure in the trash. There's a purpose for everything. You know, a caterpillar goes into a cocoon and turns into gel before it emerges as a butterfly. So there's a purpose for the process. And a lot of times we spend a lot of time judging the process instead of appreciating the process and saying, okay, so what do I need to learn in this space?
Alicia, I had a question. Tell me, what motivated you to write Believe, Begin, and Become? What was the motivating factors for you writing that book?
Well, I wrote it because of the stories in my own head, the things that blocked my own process that I recognized, you know, the stories and the energy that pulled me from my own peace and my own life purpose. And I knew that I needed a strategy and tools to silence my own gremlins. And I didn't think I was that much different than other people, right? Because as I talk to others, you know, it seems like many of us have those thoughts that arise in our own voice, telling us what's not going to happen, doubting our dreams, calling us imposters, frustrating our aspirations, and denying our unique genius. You know, so I felt the world needed the book because, you know, I think we're all much more alike than we are different. And with all the stuff that's coming in that's negative, I needed to put out some positivity into the universe because we're with our spirit.
That's really interesting. Wow. So was it something that happened to you that inspired something to happen in your family? Was it something from your children? Most authors, you know, I'm an author myself, and there's always one thing that makes, that motivates you to write a book. And I feel like there's a story behind the story. If you want to share.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of stories. Well, that's what the book is about. It's a very transparent a story about my life. You know, I definitely, my story includes rebellion. It includes being a high school dropout. It includes disappointing my family. It includes not walking in my light. It includes shrinking. But it also includes recovery and service work and mentoring and leaving a learning legacy at a Fortune 50. It includes building a successful business. It includes being an advocate for social justice. It includes finally finding my purpose, walking in it, and being a woman of light and integrity and faith. So that journey, I felt, would help others in their journey because we're so hard on ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that this motivating about the book, from what I've been seeing about your book, is it has soft colors. And I think soft colors give people some type of hope. And do you see that for your book? Do you see it gives people hope in times of despair? Go ahead, elaborate.
You know what, dude? That has been one of the most humbling, rewarding aspects of putting my book out there. People have called. A lady talked to me, and I get emotional when I think about it. And I knew her. I hadn't talked to her in, I don't know, over a year. And she said that her sister had passed and that they were so close and that it was such a hard time for her. And she said that my book helped her get through her grief. And
oh my.
The universe will give you affirmation, you know, when you are doing what it is you're supposed to be doing. You know, I know that, like, people ask, you know, what am I supposed to be for? What is God's will for my life? What is my purpose, you know? And I would say that, like, when you are, it's like walking down a street in a storm and the wind is pushing you in your face and it's pushing you back, but you're just determined and you're pushing through the storm and you're going to continue to walk forward anyway. That's your will. When it's like creation's universe will for your life, it's like you're walking down the same street, but the wind is on your back, gently pushing you forward. Because when you're in flow, you'll get those signs that you are in flow. You'll feel it. When that woman told me that my book helped her get through her personal grief, you know, I've had people tell me the book helped them to go back to school because I was a high school dropout. I went back to school. I was just fortunate to get to have, you know, managerial positions. I've always been an avid reader. I've always been great at relating with people. And so, like, training and learning was a natural. I learned on the job, but I didn't go back and actually get my formal education until I was in my early 50s. So the book, I talk about that. And people say, you know what? I'm 35 and now I'm going to go back to school, or I'm 60 and I want to go back to school. So when people tell me that, it's like, oh, my God. Like, our stories are important. We need to tell our stories. Your story is going to help someone.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Let's hold that thought. We need to take our first break. We'll be right back. This is Game On Business Talk with D'Anthony Miles, and that's our Author Showcase series. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned in to Game On Business Talk Radio with Dr. D. Anthony Miles. We'll be right back. Thank
you. Hi, we're back. This is Game On Business Talk with D. Anthony Miles. Let us continue our show on Author Showcase series with our guest, Alicia Newton, author of Believe, Begin, and Become. And I want to piggyback on our last segment. Alicia, you've written this book, and let's talk about some of your chapters in the book. What was the most inspiring part of writing your book, Believe, Begin, and Become? What just gave you a burst of energy to write this? I know you talked about, you know, your background and what was a motivating factor, but what inspired you more than anything to write this?
That's a great question, Dee, because there were a lot of affirmations and reasons that I wrote the book. I guess my main reason is the lessons that I've learned. You know, I no longer struggle as much with a lot of things that I used to struggle with. I've learned how to show up in my gifts. I mean, each of us have gifts. Each of us have, you know, we're unique. We have been created to do something that only we can do. We all have purpose, you know. We're all worthy. We're all enough. We're all amazing. And there's so much in society that will tell you otherwise. And so, you know, learning to walk in and to own those gifts, and the struggle, because it was a struggle for me to really own, you know, who I am at my core, right? Mm-hmm. And since I have found that, like right now I'm working on a program called Inner Leadership. And, you know, again, I'm going to go back to what Maya Angelou said. When you learn, you should teach. And so when I see people struggling with, they have a dream, there's something they want to do, but they're stuck. You know, it's like, I don't want to let go of this. Or I don't want, you know, fear is holding them back, or the illusion of perfection, the illusion of control. These things are holding people back, you know. And I've tussled with those things, right? And learned to suit up and go forward anyway, you know. Courage is one of our most important virtues. So, you know, it's not having everything in place, you know. I didn't leave my corporate position because I had everything in place. But I was at a point in my life where I was being pulled into another chapter. And so it was only in letting go of that chapter was I able to walk in a new exciting chapter. It's like COVID-19. Like, we're here, we're in this chapter, and we don't know what's in front of us. But I believe that what's in front of us is going to be greater than what's behind us. There's a reason we're walking through this darkness right now.
Oh, that's an interesting point, Alicia. And you had me thinking while you were talking about the inspiration for your book. And I wanted to know, how did you come up with that title? I mean, that's a very, very fitting title for a book like yours. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a great title. It's like the mm-hmm. three B's. Did you, whatever yeah. you want, yeah. you have to believe and begin and become. And
yes.
I mean, what? How did you come up with that?
And there's that, right? Because that's what we wanted to do. Like, you want to believe in your dream, right? You want to believe that you're going to get to the other side of whatever it is that you're challenged with. You have to believe in yourself. And then you have to begin the actual action that gets you to that. Whatever that next is, whatever that you're dealing with, and then you become it. But there's a subtitle to this book, and the subtitle is Affirmations to Remember What You Know. Because we all have an internal, I call it our internal North Star. Like I said, no one was born not feeling like they were going, that they were enough. No one, you know, babies don't come into the world self-conscious or afraid. You know, we come in loud and, hey, asking for what they want, right? So the subtitle is an affirmation to remember what you know. This is about recovering that spirit. You know, no one was born with self-limiting beliefs. No one was born with fear. No one was born with not enoughness. And this book, A Personal Stories and Affirmation, was written to help guide the reader back to their true north, to remind you of what your soul already knows, that you're special, that you're amazing, that you have something to contribute. So,
interesting. I want to ask you, what's been the public's response to your book? What's kind of reaction have you gotten from the public that buys your book?
Yeah, they love it. I mean, the people who read my book, they communicate with me. I tell you, it's a very humbling, inspiring feeling that, you know, my book helps people get to the other side of whatever. You know, I shared earlier about my friend, a person who had read the book and whose sister had passed, helped me with the grief. You know, I've had people in recovery who've called and said, hey, this helped me, you know, stay the course. I've had people dealing with narcissistic bosses, and they said, you know what, this book helped me get out the way and just approach that situation strategically and find what I needed to learn working for this narcissistic boss. The response has been when people read Believe, Begin, Become, Affirmation to Remember What You Know, it helps them to move forward in some peace and in some excitement that, you know, next, you know, like I'm okay right here in this moment, you know. Because we have a mind that always wants to take us out of right here in this moment. You know, one of my affirmations is all my fears are in the future. Because right now, as I stand here, I have this breath. You know, I'm having a conversation with you. You know, now if I start worrying about tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, hey, that's a thief of my current peace. All my fears are in the future.
Wow, that's really powerful. I could imagine the kind of response you're getting. Most of your readers, are they women or men, or it's about a mix of the two? What's been the majority of the people that buy your book?
Well, currently, I would say more women than men, but, I mean, I've had men review the book and share that how the book helped them, as well as women, you know, because I think universally we are like too hard on ourselves. We judge our process, we judge our mistakes, we need to be affirmed, you know, finding that balance. So I think the book is beneficial for anyone, because at the end of the day, you know, you want to be able to feed. One of the affirmations is what you feed grows, you know, and you want to be able to intentionally feed yourself affirmations, empowerment, compassion, self-compassion, and faith, because a lot of times, you know, when we look around, it's like as much as I may want to control a situation, the truth of the matter is that I didn't bring the sun up this morning, and other than a physical restraint, I can't really make someone do what they don't want to do.
And of course.
When I look at someone who's just acting the fool, then guess what? You know what I'm saying? That is where they are. People show up where they are at the level of self-awareness and self-management that they have in that moment. And guess what? I don't have any control over that. What I have control over is how I respond. What I have control over is realizing that everything has its purpose. You know, what we see grows. I'm not going to sit down and watch 3 or 4 hours of news. I can't do it. I'm not going to let that in my spirit.
No, right? it's pretty one-dimensional right now. But I want to get into one of your chapters. I was just curious. Could you tell us about the chapter one, which is the wisdom you seek? Could you give us some background on that chapter? I was really curious.
Oh, yes. The wisdom you seek is already within you. Yeah, that first chapter kind of spoke to the title. Each chapter is a collection of about 4 stories from my life. And so each one has its own affirmation. And one of the things that we're always looking on the outside, we look on the outside, how we look, who we're with, what we drive, what job we have. And so often if I ask the question, who are you? People will answer with what they do, who they're married to, are they, you know, right. And, you know, who I am is a reflection. I'm the creation of the divine. I mean, I'm a divine creation of the Creator. I have a soul. I have a purpose, you know. And what I'm looking for, I already have. You are your rescue. You already have what you need, what you are seeking. A lot of times we live in a very celebrity skewed culture. It's all about the outside. But the wisdom you seek is inside of you. It's that voice that says, stop, go, breathe. You know?
So you're using that as a metaphor to look. You're saying to look within yourself. Is that what you mean?
Yes. So the first story in that chapter, I talk about when I was young and, you know, I was the only child, and the adults in my life always dressed me up. They told me I was smart. I was pretty. They expected these great things in me. The problem was, I did not internalize that. I did not believe that. You know, I was I had a single mother. My great aunt and uncle raised me. My mother had moved to New York from a small town. We lived in West Virginia, and she left me there with them. And my father wasn't in my life. My grandmother on my father's side was in my life. And six, seven, eight, and I realized that my father wasn't in my life, I made up a story. And the story was that there was something that I had done, but if I could just do something, that I would be loved, that my father would be in my life. So this need for approval and acceptance developed early. And so, you know, I proceeded to live my life. And Brene Brown talks about this, like hustling for self-worth, and that feeling that you need to do something. Like, we don't have to do anything to be loved. We don't have to do anything to prove we're enough. We don't have to dress it up. We're enough. We are worthy because we exist. You know, define that. I've come to understand that was necessary, and I'm grateful for that period of not knowing, because now that I'm able to embrace my worthiness, embrace my journey, and embrace the fact that I am divinely created and uniquely made, you know, that was inside of me, because I looked so long for that validation outside of me. And so the wisdom you seek is already there. It's inside. even though we live in society. Tell you something.
A lot of people would really get a lot of out of that chapter, I think. So let's hold that thought. We need to take our next break. We'll be right back. This is Game On Business Talk with D. Anthony Miles. We'll be right back with our guest author, Alicia Newton.
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned in to Game On Business Talk Radio with Dr. D. Anthony Miles. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're back. This is Game On Business Talk with D. Anthony Miles. Let us continue our author showcase series with our guest today, Alicia Newton, author of Believe, Begin, Become. I felt like, Alicia, you know, when I was going through your book on Amazon, that it was much more than what you were sharing with your picture. It was a much more profound book than what I was getting.
Yeah.
And when I talked to you about your book, it seems like this book almost needs to be required reading for, you know, people dealing with a crisis in their life. And so that leads me to ask you, let's talk about chapter two. The title is You Are Up to the Task. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for that feedback, because you know what, that's not the first time that I've heard that feedback as far as the picture and that. So that is my ebook. This is an ebook now. And as I said, my goal this year I'm going to be publishing. I've contacted a new editor and, you know, we're in the works to publish the book as a hardback. And, you know, we're going to address that because, you know, it is, you know, people are amazed and inspired and empowered when they read this book. And so, you know, I do plan to change that. But the stories, the information, the tools, you know, will be there. The look may change, but that will stay.
Okay.
But yeah, you asked me about chapter two. And so chapter two is about, there's four more stories. The name of the chapter is You Are Up to the Task, reminding yourself, affirming that you are up to the task, not because you are perfect, but because you're enough and you're worthy because you exist. And this chapter is about calming your anxiety, learning to take a breath, and learning to ask for help. Because what is it we see, what are we seeing around anxiety now? Like, particularly now, what are we seeing?
Anxiety could be, you're worried about your job, you know, you're maybe getting downsized because of the situation we're in with, you know, with the situation that's going on around the world and most particularly the U.S., a lot of people have been laid off or been downsized.
Yes.
And nothing more is anxiety than something like that. So what are your thoughts on
that? That's right. That's right. And that anxiety, you're right, and it produces fear. And I learned in my life, when I'm making decisions that are fear-driven, then I'm going in a direction that is a violation of my values, of my purpose, of what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And this is a time that many of us will have to reinvent ourselves. You know, many of us, our future, you know, may not look at all like what we did in the past. We have to pivot. We have to evolve. We have to reinvent ourselves. But we can't do that from a place of fear. You know, we have to calm ourselves. We have to trust. We have to look back on other chapters of our lives when we didn't see how we were going to make it, and we made it. You know, so this chapter is all about taking that breath, asking for help, and sometimes that help is to call someone and say, listen, you know, I just got downsized. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. And someone who you trust, who can give you some feedback. So let's talk about that. You know, like how many months, like what is your you know, what's your current situation right now? You know, what do you need right now? And sometimes when we look at what I need right now, my immediate need might be okay. It might be 6 months down the road, 3 months down the road, 1 month down the road. But right now, if I could just center right there and then have someone to help you walk through what is it that you want to do? How can you pivot? Because we don't do this alone. The problem is a lot of us are trying to do so much alone, not reaching out to our network, not reading affirmations, things that are going to feed our spirit, you know, staying stuck, looking at the news, staying in the darkness. No, we have to come out of that. We have to breathe, right?
Yes.
And yeah, and tell that gremlin that wants to tell you that it's the end to sit down. And so,
that's a very, very interesting perspective, because when you read the title, I really didn't get that perspective on it until I talked to you about it. I want to ask you about another chapter. What's the chapter after that one? What's chapter three? I wasn't able to get the table of contents, but you can fill in the blanks for us. What is chapter?
Okay, so chapter three is your success is already assigned to you. All right?
Oh, okay.
You are successful, and everything you touch is successful. So, I tell a story here about, you know, 1 week after college graduation, I had received a letter from my student loan servicer demanding a payment the following month. You know, there was a deferment, however, due to a miscommunication about my enrollment status, I got this piece of paper saying the payment was due immediately. That perceived threat sent me into this fearful whirlpool of activity. I started applying for all kinds of jobs and contract work, those that I wanted to do and those that I didn't want to do, jobs I was overqualified for, jobs I was underqualified for, and nothing materialized.
Oh, right.
And my friend always reminds me, you know, and I told that story about when it's God's will, opportunity unfolds like a gentle wind moving you forward. And when it's your will, it's like walking into a monsoon and stubbornly pushing forward. So very, very ever conscious of that metaphor. After about a week and a half of that, I said, okay, let me get quiet. What am I supposed to be doing? You know, God, what am I supposed to be doing right now? You know, and the reply was, only in the stillness can you get the direction. And in the stillness, it came to me, do what I told you to do. And that was when I was doing this book. I knew I had to finish this book. Once I moved into alignment, started finishing the book, doors started opening, people started showing up to support the effort, everything came together. So we have to look for those opportunities that present themselves to work in alignment. You know, I repeatedly tried to put certainty. I wanted to put certainty in that space of uncertainty. But
we can't.
You know, that's like, you know, we have to show up and follow that may seem unknown, but it's pulling us, you know. So the universe will support your purpose, you know.
I like the word that you use, Alicia. I like that word, alignment. Could you elaborate on alignment? How does somebody find alignment based on that, what you talk about in your chapter? That's a really good word to use. Are you aligned with your goals? Are you aligned with God? Are you aligned with your family? A lot of people don't have alignment. And I think you touched upon something that's really critical here. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes, yes, it's like, what are the things that people tell you about you? You know, if you go out and you talk to people and ask them, how do you experience me? You know, that gives you clues into your purpose. Like, people have been telling me for years, Alicia, you're so positive. You know, you are such an encourager. You know, but I heard it, but I didn't hear it. Like, what do people tell you about you that you are not owning? Because we have to own the gifts that we have. And once you start owning the gifts that you have, you know, you can't help but be supported as you move in alignment with those gifts, with those. We have to trust ourselves.
Wow, that's interesting. So what you're saying about that particular chapter and alignment is the key. When you have despair and I guess you're going through things, would you say that person's out of alignment? Is that right?
When you're what? I didn't hear the question. When I'm what?
I was asking you when a person is in despair and they're going through a crisis, would you say they're out of alignment? Is that what you mean?
Well, not necessarily out of alignment, because sometimes like we have to hit that wall for a new beginning to happen.
Right.
You know, so out of that place, right, you can, I mean, it's an excellent opportunity to align more strategically and more just to align with your core goals, core self, core gifts. So, no, I'm not going to say that when I am at my lowest that I'm not in alignment, because even in that, right, I'm getting a message, okay? There's a message in that. There's a treasure in the trash. There's a reason. If I'm somewhere feeling a way I don't want to feel, if I'm at a place in my life that I don't want to be in, then I need to, that's a perfect place to look to see, okay, so how did I get here? Right, because you're right. Yes. There was something out of line. I'm not supposed to be there. I don't serve a God that wants me to be miserable. So if I'm here, I have to say, okay, so where, what, how did I get here, and what road do I need to do to get out of here? Because at that point, you know, you have more information. So insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Oh yes.
So if I'm here, then, you know, one of the things is every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Something had to end for you to start anew. So if you're at the end, it's really at the beginning.
So it's like a chapter. One chapter ends, another chapter begins.
That's
right. Kind of what you're saying?
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. We're seeing it now. We've ended a chapter in our history. With how we work, with how we communicate, you know,
absolutely.
And we're figuring it out as we go. And what are you seeing in this? You know, one of the things, what's one of the biggest changes, things that you see? Because I'm seeing that, like, we want to see each other. You know, look at the virtual platforms now, right?
Yes,
we
absolutely.
We want to teach each other. Like, there is something in our human DNA that wants to connect with each other, you know. And one thing this is showing us, that we are all connected. We all breathe the same air. We are all connected, right? And it's time to act like that. It's time to act like
that.
I
totally get what you're saying. It's like when people buy things online and they go, say, to the store, and then you run into somebody you haven't seen in years, one of your good friends, you can't replicate that online, you know? And I know I live in Texas. They call it, when you see somebody in the store, they call it visiting. And you know you really need that, because when you see people that you haven't seen in a long time, it also does something to you. It makes you either motivates you to do better or it causes you to make a change. Like, you know what, I ran into such and such, and that person remembers you from a long time ago. You're probably not that person anymore. And then when you see people you haven't seen for a long time, it's like, you look how far you've developed.
Absolutely. When we see people we haven't seen, it it just touches us, our spirit. We're wired for connection, you know. And no, it's not that we are not in a place where I can physically go and hug and socialize the way that I used to. But guess what? Virtual, it may not be. You're right. There's nothing that's going to replace a human hug. Nothing.
Nope.
However, we have tools, and we have got to embrace the tools that we have, because they're going to make us appreciate that face-to-face hug when we get back to that more. But in the meantime, yes, we are on Zoom. We are, because at least on meetings or whatever virtual platform you use, you can see the person. It's important to be able to see each other's face. There's just something about our human connection and DNA. Like, I need to see you. You can take faces of people who don't speak the same language or nothing, and I can tell by the look on your face how you're feeling. There's just a human connection there. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Alicia, we got to go into our last break. I'm sorry.
All right.
We got to go to our last break. We'll pick up on this. This is Game On Business Talk. We'll be right back. This is where our guest today, our author showcase series with Alicia Newton. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned in to Game On Business Talk Radio with Dr. D. Anthony Miles. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're back. This is Game On Business Talk with D. Anthony Miles, and let us continue our discussion today. We have our author showcase series with our wonderful guest, Alicia Newton, author of Believe, Begin, and Become. And I want to pick up on what you were saying on the last segment. We're talking about things that motivate you, and we have a shift in our society right now with trying to make a transition from seeing people in person and having to see people on Zoom or a virtual platform. And I don't think it works the same. Tell me your thoughts on that. You really onto something when you made that comment.
Yeah. Well, you know, this book is about connection, connecting ourselves back to our core self. Again, I said, no one was born feeling like, you know, they weren't enough or not purposeful or anything. And right now we're dealing with, like, how do we stay connected? And the virtual, I've been in learning and development for decades, and I remember when we first introduced virtual meetings. You know, everybody was like, no, we don't want to do virtual meetings. We want to meet face-to-face. Nothing beats face-to-face. But we can't not dismiss what we do have. I would be lost right now, and a lot of businesses would be shut down right now if we didn't have a virtual platform, if our teams couldn't see each other and collaborate, and families couldn't have family meetings, you know, and we're able to do it globally. And so, yes, is it like face-to-face? Nothing's like a face-to-face class. Nothing's like face-to-face hugs. However, there is a huge benefit in being able to see people globally and bring people together in conversation and with the ability to see each other's face. There is value in that. And
absolutely.
Is not going, you know, that again, we're being thrust into embracing what we have.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Absolutely. I want to ask you, Alicia, what's the title of chapter 4? What's the title of chapter 4?
Chapter 4 is Peace is Knowing You Don't Have to Fight Anymore.
Oh, goodness.
I know.
Please elaborate on it. Tell us about that chapter.
Okay. Again, four stories. And it's about how judgment and suspending judgment and looking for the brilliance in each other and recovering from minding other people's business and letting go and letting God and knowing that, you know, when you struggle with wanting to control someone else's journey, choices, thinking that your perspective is the only perspective. It is a setup for fitna, for discord, for anxiety. You know, we have control over ourselves, you know, how we react to a situation. You know, and winning is really accepting that, you know, change is a constant. Behavior comes from somewhere. You know, when we see someone doing something that vexes our spirit, it's about some compassion and kind of being curious about the experience of another that acts it. Because people show up, you know, behavior comes from somewhere. You know, I talk to a lot of parents that, you know, have a lot of angst about their children. And, you know, I'm a parent too. And surrendering that they have a journey too is a hard one, because the closer a person is to your emotion,
right,
the harder it is to let go, let God and get out of the way. And then, you
absolutely
know, they have to have their experience, right?
So I take it what you're saying is peace. You use it as a metaphor for saying,
yeah,
you need to reflect and you need to find peace within yourself. And if you can't find peace within yourself, you can't have a life of peace with anybody else.
Right.
Is that
peace,
kind of what you're
peace,
saying?
Right. It is, yeah. Peace and compassion. And compassion. Because, you know, we're judging people. We judge each other. Like, I don't believe I think the only person don't judge us. we judge people's process, what they say, okay? And suspend that judgment, you know. Know that behavior comes from someone, somewhere. Understand that that is the best that person can do at the level of consciousness they are at right now. Doesn't mean you have to agree with that. Doesn't even mean you have to be around it. But you for sure, cannot, you know, you have to submit that's where they're at, and they're going to be there until they're somewhere else.
I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. I got to ask you this. Say someone's dealing with a crisis in their life right now. Say someone died in their family, say a spouse or whatever. How do you think that chapter would help them?
Don't judge your process, your grief process. You know, grief is unique to each individual. And how you walk through grief and loss is how you walk through grief and loss. You know, don't judge it, because a lot of, you know, we want to put a time limit on it. We want to say, well, I don't want to talk about it because I've been talking about it. Don't judge the process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things why your book is critical to these times right now is we live in really uncertain times. And your book literally comes out at the right time, because America, let's say the world, we're really going through a crisis right now. And people need some positive blueprint for how they should deal with their problems.
Yeah.
And problems are sometimes within your control, sometimes they're not within your control. And it's when people have problems, then you start seeing their true nature, which means how do people react to adversity. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, first off, I forgot to ask you, how many chapters in your book? Because it sounds like this book needs to be read by everybody. How many chapters do you have in the book?
It's 12 chapters. And
oh, wow.
Each chapter has four or five stories out of my life about, you know, what I experienced, what I felt about that experience, and how what I learned from it, you know.
Absolutely.
And you're right, we are in a cocoon right now. You know, when we look around our country, when we look around the world, you know, we're in a cocoon, and depending on how we show up and change and strive to do better, to be better, to be more, because we're connected. See, that's one thing COVID-19 has shown. We're connected. I don't care if you're in the White House or the outhouse. We're connected. So, you know, it's so important now that we honor that and that we become more humane, that we become more compassionate, that we become more innovative, you know, that we become more open, that we become more centered in what really matters.
Absolutely. I have to ask you this, Alicia. When you were writing Believe, Begin, and Become, I'm sorry, I'm not saying it right, Believe, Begin, Become, what was, now you're on the other side of writing the book, how does it feel to be, how does, did you feel different before you wrote the book, or did you feel, or are you the same after you finished writing the book? Because a lot of times, the book puts you through an experience that you did not anticipate while on the course of writing it. And then on the other side of it, you reflect back. Was it some things that you felt that you could have touched on more, or you didn't get to touch on, or did you do everything the way you set out to do it? What's your thoughts
on
that?
Wow, that is such a good question. And there's a couple questions there. You know, I must say that I'll start out with what happened after I wrote the book. Because we did a virtual launch. It's an ebook. We did a virtual launch on Facebook, and we did a you know, an on the spot interview, and you know, and it was so like getting ready for that and launching that and having the discussion live like that. When you're in flow, at that point, I knew what it was, exactly what it was I was supposed to be contributing to the universe at that time. And
okay,
that is an amazing feeling. You know, that was an amazing feeling. And then when I started, when people started giving me feedback on how the book helped them, that it actually touched someone's lives and helped them get from up from down under, that was a very humbling, exciting feeling. So it makes me, you know, want to do more, and that's why I'm going to, you know, have the hard copy published by the end of the year. I'm going to add some chapters, but yes, you know, this is rereading right now that will help you. Like, this is my gift to you, and yes, it has changed me. It's helped me become more aligned with purpose. You know, with generosity, with you know, being able to, you know, we want to leave the world better than we found it.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. That's what I wanted to ask you. Did you feel, after you wrote the book, do you feel like you're a different person before you wrote it, or you feel like you're the same?
No, I definitely grew. Definitely became, you know, it's just another level of authenticity, you know, because our authentic self is a gift, our best authentic self now. Let me put some caveat around that. But being your best authentic self, you know, because I put it all out there, you know. And so I couldn't tell you, you know, how I came up from down under unless I told you about being down under. So, you know, I had to talk about my journey. And so, yes, there's a freedom that comes with, you know, your story. Your story, I don't care. Each and every one of us have a story, and our stories have value, and our stories are, we go through, every time when you're going through something, you think you're going through it for yourself, but you're really not. You're going through it because there's someone that needs to hear your story.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you gave our listeners today, they got their money's worth today, that's for sure. I want to ask you, you know, we're closing in on our show. How can the readers get a copy of the book, and how can they get in contact with you if they want to reach you? What's the best way to get in contact with you and get a copy of Believe, Begin, Become?
Sure. Well, the book is available on Amazon. If you go to Amazon or you go to Google Play, you can download Believe, Begin, Become, Affirmations to Remember What You Know. My website is alicianewton.com, and you can email me at Alicia, and my company name, Learning Path LLC, Alicia at Learning Path LLC. So go out
Get the book, stay encouraged, and know that you are divinely designed and worthy. Joy and abundance is your birthright. I don't care what it looks like right now. You keep putting one foot in front of the other.
I want to ask you, you plan on doing any book signings with the hard copy release? You want to see
absolutely.
How the sales go first with the online or the e-copies? But what are your plans for that? Do you have any places in particular you're probably interested in having your book signing?
I definitely. Yeah, thank you for that question, Dee. I am going to have book signings. I'm very excited about continuing this journey with affirmations. I have some, you know, every day we live, we have new experiences. So I'll be adding a couple chapters. We'll definitely have book signings. I haven't thought I want book signings in intimate spaces where we really can have a conversation. I want to have a conversation with my readers. You know, I want to hear, you know, what they're walking through, you know, what has served them, what hasn't, and how I can help, how this book can help, and how just remembering that words are spirits, and we must affirm ourselves. When you hear that voice in your head that never has nothing good to say, you better talk back to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's lying.
Well, all righty. Well, that's our show today. We had an awesome show today. We want to thank Alicia Newton, author of Believe, Begin, Become, for joining us today. And Alicia, thank you so much for joining us today. Your awesome book.
Thank you,
and I'm definitely got to get me a copy. Definitely got to get me a copy. All righty.
Thank you so much, Dee. It was an honor and a privilege to talk with you today about it. I appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Have an amazing day. Make an amazing day.
I appreciate that. Likewise. Well, I'm out of here. That's our show for today, or for the week, actually. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed our show today, or our continuing series on Author Showcase with Alicia Newton, our guest today. This is Game On Business Talk with D.M.P. Miles. We'll see you next week. Have a blessed day, and I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to Game On Business Talk Radio with host D. Anthony Miles.